Hello, and welcome to the Off-Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances, and I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 100. Yes, this is the 100th episode of the Off-Kilter Quilt. And I have nothing planned. I am so bad at this, but I have to tell you, I am like bad at my own wedding anniversary. I'm trying to think if we went out. I don't think we did. You know why? Because it was July 30th and my stomach was still really bugging me. So I'm not sure we did anything except say happy anniversary. So, you know, I'm not good at that. One day I'm going to surprise you and I'm going to have some great giveaway. And it's just going to be just because. And, you know, there are other people who are just good at this, like Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us. She was great. Her 100th episode thing was fabulous. She had, like, tell me 100, you know, if you could have 100 wishes, what would they be? And I think she gave stuff away and da-da, she's very good. And so I would just sort of like to pretend that what Sandy did was also for this podcast. So I'm going to share in all her goodness and glory. And one day, really, I'm going to surprise you. It is Thursday, October 4th, I'm pretty sure, and I don't have any quilt diaries. Do you know, I don't know why I haven't done any quilt diaries. There are a couple things. I'm working on some theories about the last couple weeks. One thing, this week, it's been like 85 degrees and really soupy and muggy. And you know, I don't complain about the weather, but this has been pushing it. Because we've had some beautiful weather, and all of a sudden this mugginess and there are mushrooms growing everywhere. It's really gross. Next week it's going to be cold, and so I'll be complaining about that. But right, this weather, no, cold actually invigorates me. I feel very good. This weather just makes me want to just flop on the couch. So that has made me uninspired. The other uninspiring thing is that I am now sharing workspace with Jack. Bless his little heart. He is working on the desk that's part of my wing of the house. And he has to work downstairs on his computer until 8 at night. We let him take it upstairs for an hour or so at 8 because he seems to really require that. I suppose he could be doing terrible things that I would greatly be upset by, etc. But you know, we check his history, and he seems mostly just to be reading World of Warcraft forums and gaming, and he's allowed to game for 2 hours. We decide that is the healthy limit. But, he, you know, anyway, so he is down here a lot and makes podcasting a bit more difficult. I mean, I could podcast in front of him, but I probably wouldn't because he'd be over there rolling his eyes every 10 seconds. It even makes getting some quilting done because, you know, I like to listen to podcasts or watch Netflix while I'm quilting. And I don't want to interrupt him, although he's always plugged in. He's always got his headphones on. So I think that's a good bit of sort of my lack of production this week. Although last week I actually was incredibly productive. No, week before last. Last week I was not, and I didn't even do an episode. Last week I read because we were finally done with Brave New World at my book club, which I didn't finish. It was interesting. You know, just conceptually, it was an interesting book, but I didn't finish it. But so soon as book club was over, then I was free to read what I wanted. I've been reading Where'd You Go, Bernadette by Maria Semple, which has been a big fall hit. I have really enjoyed this book. I'm almost done. I think I have about 20 pages left. And it's a lot of fun. I almost gave up on it. And it was interesting reading some reviews and reading some reviews of an earlier book where people said the same thing. Here's the thing, because the characters, when you're starting out, it's very funny. It's set in Seattle, and it's actually a novel sort of made up of documents, of emails and letters and memos and that sort of thing. And it sort of traces about 3 or 4 months in the life of this Seattle woman, Bernadette Fox, who she and her family moved to Seattle perhaps 20 years before the story begins. Maybe. And she'd been in Los Angeles, a very successful, innovative architect, MacArthur genius grant, that sort of thing. And then had something happen that was I'm thinking the word disruptive, that's not quite right, but really just threw her. And so when her husband gets a job as a big deal at Microsoft, they move to Seattle which Bernadette hates, which, and you learn through all the story, through all these different documents. A bunch of stuff happens in this 3 or 4 month span that the novel takes place over. And at some point, Bernadette, in fact, disappears. And no one knows what's happened. Hence the title, Where'd You Go, Bernadette? When it starts out, it's very, very funny. I've never lived in Seattle or even been to Seattle. But it's a satire. And it really makes fun of Seattle culture. And since that culture sounds somewhat similar to some of the kind of upper middle class, groovy liberal culture around here, you know, I got it completely. But the problem with satire is it can throw you out of a story. You want to care about the characters. I do. And I think that can be a problem sometimes with satire, is that you just don't care enough about the characters. And I got to a point, I was probably 30 pages in, and I kind of felt like, you know what, I don't care about these characters, and I'm not sure I like them. But because the book had been so funny, I decided to stick it out for a little more. And I'm really glad I did, because as the story goes on and as the characters develop, you develop more compassion for them. I think they become more fully realized, even sort of the bad guy, who's a woman in this case, a really annoying neighbor. You know, by the two-thirds of the way into the book with her, she even becomes like this fully realized sympathetic character. That's what happens. The characters become sympathetic. And it just takes a while. And in an Amazon review of one of her earlier books, someone made the same comment. You know, for a while I didn't like the characters, and you know, and I almost gave this book up. I thought, well, that's really interesting. Anyway, Maria Semple, Semple, is a TV writer. Also, I guess moved to Seattle. But she says, and when she says that when she first moved there, she did not like it. In an interview, she says she likes it very much now. But she's written for Arrested Development and something else, maybe Saturday Night Live. I don't know. She's very, very funny. Very funny. It's a good book, and I would recommend it. I've also been reading Mortality by Christopher Hitchens, which is pretty much a collection of the essays he wrote for The Atlantic as he was dying of cancer. And I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Christopher Hitchens, even though he is, you know, a very outspoken atheist. I shouldn't say even though. I have friends who are very... Or atheist. Your religious beliefs are not a litmus test for our friendship. But, you know, I do believe, and I've read God is Not Great, that the thing that gets me about when his atheism is it's a fundamentalist nature. So what he critiques are the most fundamentalist readings of the Bible, of the Christian Bible, of the Torah, of... Oh my goodness, now I can't think of what you read if you are Muslim. It's going to come to me though. In any event, I think he takes the fundamentalist view, and his readings of these texts are primal. You know, they're kind of primal. They're kind of basic, literal readings. Well, I don't read the Bible literally, and particularly if I'm taking this course now, my Bible study is continuing with Rick, and everybody's the same, and it was open to new people. This is called Disciples 2, and we would not allow ourselves to actively wish that no one else joined, but no one else joined, so it's the same group, which is great. And we are reading, over the course of 36 weeks, Genesis, Exodus, Luke, and Acts. So right now, we are very deep into Genesis. It's very interesting. But, you know, I don't actually believe in that Noah's Ark happened. It's a myth based on a myth based on a myth. But it's a story that tells you about God. And it's very interesting when you read, like, the Gilgamesh myth and the earlier, very ancient stories about the flood that destroyed creation, how the Hebrew writers changed it to say something about God, about, you know, their God, the only God. You know, so anyway. So I just think when people like Hitchens attack religion and attack it on these fundamentalist bases, that they've got it wrong, and they are not giving sophisticated reasons for rejecting these texts. I still can't believe I can't think of what the Muslim text is. Hold on, I can't even live with myself. The Quran, of course, silly me. Anyway, but all that aside, I've always thought Christopher Hitchens was very smart and very funny and had a lot of things to say politically that I agreed with. I did not agree with his stance on Iraq, but that's okay because obviously don't agree with everything that Christopher says, but always really enjoyed his writing and always thought when I saw him speak, like on TV, that he had lovely manners. And that actually goes a long way with me. So I was very sad when he got sick and I was very sad when he died. Most of these essays in mortality I have read already, and I'm not sure that that they needed to be collected. Certainly there was nothing new. Now, if you didn't read the, if you're interested in him and did not read The Atlantic, Vanity Fair. It was Vanity Fair. If you didn't read his Vanity Fair columns and you want to read what the experience of dying from esophageal cancer is like, read this book. It's not fun, but he is such a great writer, and just learning about his experience. I don't know. It's worthwhile reading. But that's one of the books I read. I'm doing a lot of very serious reading for this Bible study. I'm reading Everett Fox's translation of Exodus and Genesis, which is really, really good, and the comments are so interesting. The commentary is so interesting. So that's what I've been doing. I have gotten some work done quilt-wise. I have actually in front of me a big pile of half-square triangles made from fabric sent to me by Sally. I think this is all Sally fabric. Sally, I don't know if I've emailed you. I think I've thanked you here, but I'm not sure I've emailed you to say thank you. I need to do that. That is on my list because she sent a lot of beautiful fabric, as did Pam and Amy. So thank you to everyone. Anyway, so I've got a bunch of half square triangles that I've put together that need to be trimmed down and made into blocks. I am almost done with the top for my sister-in-law's quilt, the golden quilt. I've just been chunking it, and I'm almost done chunking and having the whole thing together. I went to Thimble Pleasures yesterday, got fabric. Oh man, I got this beautiful, it's gold, it's shiny gold fabric. It's really pretty. And also some red floral fabric. So the inner border will be red floral, it's a dark red, and then the outer border will be this gold, this beautiful gold. I may get a picture of it to show you, although my pictures do nothing justice, as we know. And then I got the backing, and the backing I actually bought, I thought, you know, back up, blue. You know, there's blue in this quilt, a little bit of blue. And so I thought, you know, it might be nice to do a blue backing. And I went and I was looking at the batiks, because, you know, I love batiks so, so much. Oh man, there's so much fabric I want. And I found the blue batik that I used in the quilt. I had gotten two blue fabrics for the blue in the quilt. And one was this batik, and it's blue and sort of a peachy gold. Oh, it's really pretty. I'll take a picture. Won't do it justice. And I thought, you know, I love this so much. So I got that. I didn't get the thread. I'm thinking a gold thread, although, you know, I'm also thinking like a gold metallic and maybe a variated thread. But I've also quilted with that before, and it is kind of a pain. But I think it would be pretty. I like shiny. I think this quilt just it calls for shininess. So, but I did not get the thread. And, of course, I was at Thimble Pleasures buying this. But, you know, Joann's carries thread that I like. So I may end up just doing some thread shopping at Joann's this week. And I'm not, you know, close to the quilting anyway. So I've got the fabric for the borders. I have not put the borders on. Did not get the binding fabric yet. I always do that last, when everything is put together. So making good progress. I am pondering a couple of other things. As you know, for a long time, I've been wanting to make a red and white quilt. I'm also wanting to make a quilt for my study. Now, my study is upstairs. It's what would be the fourth bedroom. It's a very small room with a closet, a nice closet, sort of a, it's not a walk-in closet per se. You open it up though, and there's shelving on one side, it's like a big refrigerator box. Think about that. If you had a huge refrigerator box and it had shelving on one side, that would be it. And Saturday, I actually started cleaning it out because it's like my walk-in attic. It is one of those places where I just shove stuff. You know, it's like trying to clean up my study and I just shove stuff in there. So I've been going through and going through papers, and it's hard. You know, I get a lot of stuff. I'm just trying to be ruthless because I really love clean, orderly spaces, and I don't create enough of them for myself. My attic is like that too. It is just stuffed with junk. And, you know, one of the things about this weather that I'm not complaining about is, like, who wants to work in an attic when it's hot and muggy and stuffy? You don't. So when the weather cools down, maybe next week I'll get started on that. It's also such a huge job. I need to get everyone in the family involved. Yes, I do. Anyway, so doing some work in my study, which is a room I don't use enough. I think I've probably talked about this, that I write downstairs. For a long time, I did that because of the dog, because of Travis, who was not allowed upstairs because the boys were still playing with Lego and little things when we got Travis. And so I would work downstairs because he would cry, especially when he was a puppy, to be left alone downstairs while I was working upstairs. So I've just gotten the habit. In fact, I usually work on the couch, and I'm trying to change that habit. Rebecca, my personal trainer, she's a great trainer. Just the idea that sounds like such a, I see her like maybe right now once a month. And she's very helpful. She's great. But anyway, she kind of got on me when I told her that I wrote sitting on the couch, slouched over. And so now I try to at least half of my writing time actually sit at the dining room table, which is where I'm sitting right now. Anyway, so that's where for a long time I've been working, is on the couch. And so not using my study. And the other thing about my study is it's upstairs. This house, the way it's built, you know, there's some things sitting up in my study. You know, it's like if the man were doing the dishes, I could certainly hear that. If the TV is on in the family room and a football game is going, I can certainly hear that. But as far as, say, if someone were trying to get into the house through the screen porch or the side door, which is the door that's right off the driveway, I wouldn't be able to hear that. And from time to time, there are a rash of break-ins in our neighborhood. We have bikes stolen. Now, this is right after we had a lot of work done. So we had like 20 guys on the roof kind of thing, and the bike was stolen right then. And so we think probably just somebody went into the garage while they were working and saw the bikes and came back later, and we weren't in the habit of locking the side door for the garage, and at that time did not have an alarm system. Now we do. But that's the only thing that's ever happened, and I've never felt like someone's tried to get in the house and just been unsuccessful. We do keep it alarmed, although I don't alarm it during the day while I'm here. Nonetheless, I like to be able to know what's going on. It's like sitting where I'm sitting right now, I can see out to the driveway. I can see the cars going by on the road. If someone were to come up, I would see him. I don't sit around feeling scared about someone breaking in, but it's a little disconcerting to be sitting in a place where you realize you don't actually know what's going on in the rest of the house, in certain parts of the house. So that's another reason why I work downstairs. So I feel kind of guilty. Although not that the space would be used for anything else, but I already have kind of a lot of space I've claimed for myself. Basically, I'm building my own apartment in this house. It's mine. It's mine. It's all mine. But it is where, you know, I have a desk up there and I have lots and lots of books up there. And I may actually move my writing enterprise back up there, now, especially since Travis can be up there. There's a nice comfy recliner that he can sit in and while I work. So I may, and I've been trying to do some stuff. One of the things I just did, I think I may have told you, about a year ago or so, I found a dollhouse on the side of the road while I was taking Travis out. And I actually picked it up right then. It was full of cobwebs. It clearly had been in someone's attic or garage for a long time. I picked it up and walked it home with us. It is made, you know, I've been telling people it's made out of metal or tin, but it's not. It's actually made out of cardboard. I guess you would call it cardboard, a very hard, solid cardboard. I don't think it's particle board because it actually feels harder than that, but I don't think it's wood. I don't know what it is, but it's not metal. It's not tin. But, you know, it looks like it was from the 1960s. And so I've had that downstairs, but I'm moving it upstairs because I've always wanted to make an art project out of it. So I'm sort of trying to turn my study into kind of an art, more of an art space. And to that end, I have a huge postcard collection. I love sticking things up on the wall. So does the man. So his study, he's got stuff stuck up all over the walls. We're like teenagers. We're like teenagers, the way we stick stuff on our walls. And if you go into, and Will's clearly gotten this from us. Jack has none of this in him. Will got all of it. So his room is, I should take a picture and show you, is totally covered, mostly with sports pictures, but totally covered, which is good because his walls are orange. So it's really good because it's a little intense. It would be a little intense without everything stuck to the wall. So I've been taking these, my postcards and various things, poems and art that the boys have done at school. They have a great art program at the lower school at Durham Academy. Amazing art teacher. The stuff they do is incredible. So some of the boys' art, and I've been putting that up on the walls. And although also trying to leave some of the wall space completely empty, because I think it would be overwhelming to have everything covered. But that's been fun. And I actually did some of that last week and brought the dollhouse up and just trying to think about what I want to do with it. I actually want to get dollhouse furniture for it. And I have been trolling eBay a little bit. I don't want to pay very much for this furniture, but I want to get it. So one of the books that I've been reading and that I finished last week was Happier at Home by Gretchen Rubin, which I think I've talked about. Very fun book. I would recommend both of her books. I think I probably have before, The Happiness Project and Happier at Home, which are not la-la, let's all smile at each other and be joyful. Although they're not against smiling at each other. And in fact, she writes, just Gretchen Rubin has done all this research, what makes people happy. And she talks about how sometimes what makes you happy is doing things that actually kind of make you unhappy. Like it may make you very unhappy to clean out your hall closet, but if you clean out the hall closet, you'll actually be happier. And she does say, sometimes you have to act the way you want to feel. And so if you want to feel happier, you should smile, but it's all like, here's this one study. I really enjoyed both of the books, and there's just something very orderly and organized about them. But one of the things that she talks about in Happier at Home toward the end of the book is she's very much about figure out what you like to do, not what your friends like to do. Figure out what makes you happy. And what she talked about in the Happiness Project was, she's not very into music. And for years she would try going to clubs and she would try to really get into it, and she just never did. And she feels kind of bad that she doesn't love music more, is not into it at all, because so many people she knows are. But she's just finally accepted that about herself. She just doesn't love clubs. She just doesn't love music or going out to dance. So she's getting a little old for the going out to dance thing, but has finally accepted that about herself. So she's all about just be honest with yourself. What is it? She's always like, her thing is let Gretchen be Gretchen. Just figure out what is it that you like to do. So one of the things that she loves to do is read children's books. And she finally kind of accepted that about herself and started a children's lit reading group, which she loves. And Happier at Home, she writes about how she loves miniatures. And you know what? I do too. I think this is something that I've always really loved and has been unexpressed in myself. Not really. I mean, I got that dollhouse, and I did get some, I have gotten furniture over the past year from eBay, just like a piano. I got a really cool sewing machine, like a dining room table, that kind of thing. But reading that, I was like, I really do. It's like I was walking by an architect's office the other day, and if you've ever done that, they've got like a big picture window, and they have their buildings inside, actual models of the buildings. I love looking at stuff like that. I think it's so cool. So I do like miniature stuff. I went to... I can't think of the one of the craft shops. Now I can't remember what it is. I can see where it is. I can't remember what it is. Not the one that carries all the Martha Stewart stuff. See, this is really bad. What has happened to my brain that I cannot think of the name of this craft store that we all know? A.C. Moore. A.C. Moore. Thank you, brain, for pulling that up 10 minutes later. Anyway, I went to A.C. Moore the other day and I had like a 50% off coupon, and I bought some little tiny cans, for like $2. They're so cool, and I put them up on my desk upstairs has a shelf, and I put them up on top of that shelf, and they just make just a little stack of tiny cans. I'm like, that is so cool. It's got me thinking about making miniature quilts, but I think I would have to do definitely modern or liberated miniature quilts, because I cannot see doing like tiny half square triangles. Can you? Can you see, do like doing real? I know, and I've seen articles about people who do miniature quilts, and they're amazing, amazing. So I like small stuff. I've just decided that. So very exciting. If I ever do get my dollhouse furnished and make an art project out of it, I don't know. Do you ever, like, you have like this desire to make art, but you don't know how to manifest it? I feel that all the time. Or like, you know, I love to draw, and I see drawings and sketchbooks and books about sketchbooks. And I just like, oh, I just want to do that. But you know, I never do. I never do. And in fact, today I was thinking about that and the sort of let you be you kind of thing. Like, you know, you may just really like looking at drawings, but if you don't make the time for it, you may not actually love it. Or you may not, that may not be something that you're going to do. Because the stuff I really love to do, I tend to make time for. You know, there may be some lapses, like with quilting or knitting, but I always go back to it and I'm very excited about it. The one art form that I do return to periodically is collage. And I actually have a book, a nice blank book that I have been filling up with collage. And that's something that I really enjoy. But miniature quilts, how did I get from there to there to there? Don't know. But I have thought about making some miniature quilts since I do like miniature stuff. I also would like to make a quilt for my study because when I have insomnia and just can't get back to sleep, I go to my study and read, and I have a nice recliner. It's like a club chair recliner that my friend Danielle gave me. So it's sort of on a permanent loan, which is, I hope, very permanent because something got spilled on it and some of the finish. It's like a leather recliner and some of the finish kind of, but I'll just go and recline and read and usually fall asleep. And I need a quilt. I decided that I need a quilt. And I can't decide whether to do something really funky and scrappy and kind of, just kind of putting it together as it goes, or if I should do my red and white quilt. The room is painted a very nice soft green, and I think a red and white quilt would look good in that room. And I do have my little bear claws from when I was messing around with those. So it's possible I will take those and continue to bear claw and make a bear claw quilt. I have other projects. I have some knitting projects. Oh, man. So yesterday I go to Thimble Pleasures and then walked up to, there's a shopping center sort of right up the hill. So I walked up, parked in the middle, walked up to the shopping center, and there's a very nice yarn shop there. It's actually, it was the shop where I learned how to make a sweater, although at the time it was owned by an older woman named Alice from New Zealand. And it was called Knit a Bit, and I don't think it's called that anymore. I think they've changed the name, but it's the same space, new owners, very nice space. I love it because they carry all the Rowan magazines, which are beautiful but cost like $22. And so it's good I can go look at them and not actually buy them because I'm not going to make any of those sweaters. But I don't really want to spend $20 on a magazine just to look at the pictures. No, that's a lot. My limit is probably about $14 for a magazine, and that's a rare treat. Anyway, so I go over there and I'm looking at the yarn and it's all so pretty and I want to make my nieces socks for Christmas. I'll probably get them some books, but I thought it'd be nice to make my nieces and my nephew socks for Christmas. And so I found this great yarn, very pretty variegated, sort of a pink, purple, blue colorway. And I thought, oh, my niece Gabby would really like those. And I got home last night and actually finished a pair of socks I've been making for myself that I started 2 years ago. Finished those up. I've been working on the last sock for a week or so and cast on for Gabby's socks. And then I realized as I'm knitting, I'm like, you know what? I bet this is not washable wool. And sure enough, I looked at the label and it's not. So I emailed my sister-in-law and said, do you guys do a lot of hand washing there? And I told her why I was asking. And I said, you know, because if you don't, then I should probably just use this yarn for another project and I will get some washable yarn to make Gabby's socks. And she emailed back and said, we never do hand washing. So I got this great yarn. And the thing is I don't do a lot of hand washing either. So I may just use it to make a scarf or some mittens or something that you know, can live without being washed too often. So I might, this weekend, perhaps this afternoon, I don't know, I may go over to Cozy, which is a nice little shop in Durham that often carries really nice sock yarn. Or I might just buy something online. I don't know. But I am ready to get sock knitting done. I am very, when it cools down next week, I think I'm going to be very psyched to knit. And I'm going to finish up my sweaters. I'm so close to finishing up Julia Roberts and the Hogwarts sweater that, no, it's the Gryffindor sweater. I really would love to get those done, but it's very, very hard to be inspired to get stuff like that done. It's 85 and it's a swamp outside your door. All right, I'm actually going to stop right here, take a little break. I need to go eat lunch and go do some stuff. And then when I come back, I will thank everyone who took the time to comment this week. All right, back in a minute. Okay, it's later and I'm back. It's actually almost 9 o'clock. And I wanted to take this opportunity before it's too late to thank everyone who commented on my last episode, or even just my blog post saying that I wasn't going to have an episode last week, which some of you did. I want to say thanks to Jay, to Francie McGee, that's a great name, and she is a first-time commenter. I got a few of those this time. Thank you, everybody. And she says, Scrap Vomit is just not a good name for anything. Vomit is never a good name for anything good. I think that's a motto we can all live by and agree with. Heard from, oh, another comment from Francine. She's wondering about Anne from Greenstitch. And I have been wondering about Anne from Greenstitch, too. Is anybody in touch with her? She has not posted. I think it's been since March. Now, I know her husband retired recently. And I'm wondering if they're traveling more or if just getting into a new routine has thrown her off her podcast schedule. And if you're listening, let us know where you are. And I really enjoyed Greenstitch a great deal, so I hope Anne comes back when she gets a chance. Heard from Tori and Kelly the Fifth. Heard from Sally H. Jewel and another first-time poster. Thank you. Heard from Sherry D. Walker Lady, who, when I, you know, I asked, one of the things I asked in episode 99 is if you were to do a tour, like a quilting tour for a day, what ideas do you have? And Sherry D. Walker Lady said, personally, I wouldn't go on a bus anywhere, but perhaps that's because I haven't gone on a bus tour. She would be enticed to go on a tour that took in one of the big quilt shows, though. And that's what I'm thinking. It would be good to do a tour around a quilt show that can really get people on the bus. Heard from Kristen. Hi, Kristen, who commented, actually put several comments, and one of her comments was she misses Anne from Greenstitch too. Got some people who submitted some taglines for me, you know, the thing I'm going to close off with, and one of hers is now, go play with some fabric, which I like, although that sounds like something Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us might say. Which doesn't mean I can't say it, but I don't want her to feel like I'm, you know, stepping on her toes. She also says, another one was, make time to do something that makes you happy. And that sounds more like me, and I like that. So that I will ponder that. Heard from Oklahoma Mom, who understood that I needed to take a break. She has been substitute teaching and working every day and hasn't had time to quilt or go to her guild meetings. We all have periods like that. But Oklahoma Mom, hope you get a break. Hi, Sandy. This is Sandy from Quilt Cabana, who said, I think this is her first, I think she's just started listening to the podcast, just got wind of it. Hello. I hope you guys are listening. It's Quilt Cabana, is it Quilt Cabana Corner? I feel like there's a corner in that. Oh, and she also does patterns. And Sandy, did you have a pattern in the recent McCall's? Because I think maybe you did. It was a very cute pattern. I'm going to have to go and check. But I saw that. I saw it. And there was something about it that made me think of you. Also, Sandy, a UMass Amherst girl. Yay. Yay. Boy, I miss Massachusetts this time of year. Starting in November, I no longer miss it. But this time of year, I really do. Heard from Phil Still Stitching with some great ideas about quilting destination tours. Let's see, also comment about the scrap. She can't even bring herself to say scrap vomit, and I don't blame you. Heard from Margaret Kay, who's commented a few times, but is a longtime listener, and has had very nice things to say about my books. She's read a couple. Thank you, Margaret Kay. And also want to know where to start with Wendell Berry, because she read The Second Life of Abigail Walker, which opens with a quote from a Wendell Berry poem that I love very much. As far as the novels, I would start, my favorite one is Jaber Crow. It's J-A-Y-B-E-R. And a close second is Hannah Coulter. So he writes, his novels are all about this fictional Kentucky town called Port William. I believe that's right. And so there are all these different characters that show up in all his books, and they're all connected. And the stories are set, for the most part, in sort of the 40s, 50s, some in the 60s. Hannah Coulter actually follows her whole life. She marries into the Port William community and then grows old there. And it follows her. I think it may end in the 80s. By the way, if you're a Wendell Berry fan, he's got a new collection of short stories coming out October 23rd, so just in a couple weeks, and I, for one, am very excited. I've seen some of these stories published in places like The Atlantic, so I've read a couple of them, but I'm excited to see what's going on with all the Fort folks in Port William. So the other thing is he does write short stories, and there's the collected short stories, which are wonderful, and also a great introduction to all these characters. A shorter collection that I love, 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 which is included in the collected stories, but it's called Fidelity, and it's a beautiful collection of stories. I think it's like five or six stories about this one couple, and it's just charming and wonderful. Heard from Cynthia, and I heard from Terry, who's been listening to Shooting the Moon while she's driving. Yay! Thank you to everyone who's listening or reading my books. I appreciate it. Also got a great comment. First time comment from Lori Lou. Thank you, Lori Lou. I just like saying Lori Lou. And she listens to it when she walks. But I think that's a lot of people, and I have this too. You're listening to the podcast while you're taking a walk or while you're driving, and then you think of these things to say, but you're walking or driving and you can't make the comment, and then you forget. And I do that with other podcasts, so I totally get that. A Foyle's War lover. You know what, Lori Lou? I was just thinking today how much I miss Foyle's War, because we've watched the whole series. And I guess at some point we could start watching it again. You know what we've been watching? Did I mention this? We started watching The West Wing. The other thing that I've gotten through Netflix, a series that I've already watched, but it's Freaks and Geeks. If you grew up, like if I graduated from high school in 1982, if you graduated from high school about that time and not watched Freaks and Geeks, you ought to watch it just for the walk down memory lane. It really captures that era of sort of late 70s, early 80s, just amazingly well. So I've been watching that while I've been quilting. But one of the things that Lori Lou says she loved, okay, it's not Berkeley Square. What do we say? Is it Berkeley Square? Oh, now I can't remember. Or Berkeley. I can't remember. My mom told me, now I've forgotten again. So anyway, I just keep thinking, remember me to Herald Square, but that's not it at all. And she says, I can't wait for the new season to come out. Is there a new season? Oh my goodness, that's exciting, because I really enjoyed that. That was a lot of fun. It wasn't fun. It's not like good times. It's actually a lot of drama, but it was very good. And that was one that Tanisha recommended. And Tanisha always comes up with good stuff. In fact, I think Tanisha's got a new episode up that I have to listen to, and maybe she will tell us other things that we need to be watching. I hope she will tell us things that we need to be reading, because she has awfully good recommendations and has sent me to many fine books. So I think that is it. Thank you, everyone, for commenting. If you have a comment, you can go to offkilterquilt.podbean.com. That's one place. Or theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com. That's where I did post some pictures of the fabric. All it is just two pictures of the fabric I bought for the golden quilt, for the borders and the backing. You can also just ESP me messages. I know a lot of you are doing that, and I'll do my best to ESP you back. You can also email me at fdal@nc.rr.com. I love hearing from you. I'll tell you, once again, it's the 100th episode. I think I have in the 70 range in terms of comments on iTunes. So if you've not done an iTunes comment, we could shoot for getting that up to 100. That would be something you are doing for me instead of me doing for you. But maybe by the time I get up to 100 comments, I will figure out what to do, sort of like to celebrate or for a giveaway. I apologize for any unfinished thoughts from the first section of this. I think I started talking about my study and art and just making art. I've been doing collaging. In fact, I did some collages this afternoon, some mixed media. Very fun. I won't go off on that, but when I finish the stuff I make, maybe I will post pictures. This is something I just do totally for fun. And I had a really nice afternoon taking a small box that I got either at Michael's or AC Moore, very like maybe 4x4 box, 4x4x4x2x4, whatever, and just pasting pictures on it, and it was really fun. So I just wanted to share that with you, but I think there may be some rambling earlier on in this episode, and that would be par for course. So hey, happy 100th episode to all of us. Thank you so much for listening. And I'm trying to remember what Kristen told me to do. Go out and do something that makes you happy. I like that. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to polish that up. I think that could work for me. Okay. Now go on. Be happy. Talk to you next week. Bye.